more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Yesterday on the program, we talked about some rules of thumb for end-of-year charitable giving as we look toward tax deductions come April 15th.
Our personal finance contributor, Janet Marie Tierney, is back with us this morning to give us some more things to think about. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about charitable donations as the end of the year rolls around and people thinking about how to make them and why they should make them and how they might be deductible come tax season. So let's continue our conversation about this. What are some other things to think about as you go about trying to determine the legitimacy of a charity?
Well, you know, I think it's really important to rely upon personal recommendations. You can go out to a charity website, look at it, and not be overwhelmingly impressed. It's probably done by a volunteer. It's probably not the top line item on their budget priority. You can look at printed materials or a letter that you've received and not find it to be particularly impressive or well-written. Again, they're looking to generate income, not to spend money. So don't judge a nonprofit the way that you would judge a company. Judge the nonprofit based on the good that they're doing in the community. I've said this a number of times on this show. 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't unusual for a nonprofit organization to make their appeal by saying, we're dealing with poverty in the greater area. Well, that's great, but today we have better educated, more sophisticated donors who are looking for, well, what are you doing to address poverty? How effective is it? What is it costing you to do that? And I think that's good. It's good for us to be holding these organizations to a higher standard. However, it's a double-edged sword. I hear this a lot, and that people say, well, I'm not going to contribute to that charity because too much of their budget goes to their overhead.
Right. That's a ratio we hear a lot. You know, it's how much do they spend on overhead versus how much are they spending on their mission.
Right. And, you know, I can show you a budget that shows you that my overhead is zero. It's all about how I allocate those costs. The real question we should be asking of nonprofit organizations is how effective are they in addressing the issue that they exist to address? So when somebody says, oh, well, I'm not going to give to that charity because their CEO makes too much money, you know, really, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison. What are you comparing that against? Look at how many employees that CEO has and what the total dollar value is of that overall organization budget, and then compare it to what they would make in the private sector. And now tell me if they're making too much money. And if even if it's equal, that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. I'm a strong advocate of pay good people good money to do good work. If we're really going to address problems effectively, we need to have the right people in place. And you can't expect those right people to magically appear with the ability to work for free.
Well, and so as you set out to figure out how well these nonprofits are addressing the issue that they set out to do, what are some of the tools you can use to figure out just the kinds of success that they've had?
Well, GuideStar, I know I mentioned in an earlier conversation, GuideStar.com is a website that you can go to that will ask the nonprofits to include metrics in addition to their budgets and their tax reporting so that you can see where the money is going and you can see what they're doing in the community. Annual reports, which are typically found on the nonprofit websites, will also give you some indication as to how effective they are and exactly what they're doing to address community concerns. In addition to that, again, I go back to just person-to-person information. If I come to you and say, I believe in supporting this organization because they are addressing this problem and this is how they're doing it, and here's the kicker, here's how it impacts me, and I'm asking you because this is how it impacts you. Now, there's that much more information. You feel more confident making that donation. And we're working together to improve our community. So never overlook the opportunity to ask someone what organization they support, but also, you know, appreciate that it can be really awkward to ask, too.
Well, and at the same time, if you are a supporter of a particular organization, it's not always the most comfortable conversation to have, but it's a good way to build support for the kinds of things that you support.
Right. And as from an organizational standpoint, the highest rate of success for any donations that they're attempting to solicit is not going to come from, you know, kind of a televised appeal or an event. It's going to come from the conversation I have with you that tells you why it's important to me and tells you why it's important to you. those asks always, they might not always yield the highest dollar amount, but they have the highest rate of success.
Talk a little bit about the concept of matching gifts, because there are a lot of employers out there that this is one of the things that they offer.
Right. Employers will do it. So check to see if your employer does it. If you're making a contribution and you provide paperwork to the nonprofit organization, they're able to say, okay, Janet has given us this money. We understand that you have a matching gift program. So she's given $50. Then that charity can expect a gift of $50 from my employer to match my contribution. Now, there's another type of matching donation that's out there, and that is the kind of the corporate-sponsored charitable giving. So you might do something on a bank's platform, such as my employer, Fiserv, offers something called Pop Money. Pop Money is a service that is available for banks. So we have banks in the local area who are using this. And if you use that, your bank, to make these dollar transfers using Pop Money, a percentage of that transaction is going to be given to charity. It's also a person-to-person tool for transferring money. So you can earn money for a charity just by paying someone you owe money to. And it's also a tool that can be used to give money directly to the charity, in which case there's a matching contribution and fees are waived. There are a number of things like that. There are a number of corporate-sponsored matching grant programs that are free to you. You don't have to be using something that involves a financial transaction like Pop Money. A great one out there is called Charity Miles. It's a free app on your smartphone. It's GPS-based. If you're running or walking, which hopefully you're doing anyway, you can earn 25 cents a mile for the charity of your choice. If you're biking, it's 10 cents a mile. And that's corporate-sponsored, so there's no dollars out of your pocket to helping out a charity.
In the end, are these miles and the donations that go along with them tax deductible?
No, because it's not money coming out of your pocket. It's going to be tax deductible to the corporation who is donating the money.
That's what's in it for them, obviously.
Right. And what's in it for them isn't just the tax deduction. It's also that you get to know, hey, this business helped me give 25 cents or 10 cents a mile to the charity of my choice. Perhaps when I'm looking to buy the product or service that they deliver, that's where I'm going to look first.
Janet Marie Tierney, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Janet Marie Tierney is a volunteer financial educator and our personal finance contributor. She's also a senior business analyst at Fiserv.